Amen. Page 226 in the Trucker's Guide should be Philippians 4:8. I want to talk to you for a little while this morning about what do you think about? As drivers, we have a lot of time to think going down the road, right? And it's kind of like our choice, what do we think about, really? And there's a lot of philosophers out there to help you with that. I tell the church, what I call the non-trucking church, that trucking's made up of great philosophers. Amen? All right? And so I want to talk to you today some about what do we think about. And, of course, the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So whatever we're studying and reading, what you read out loud, I should say, goes into your heart. What you read silently goes into your mind. Did you know that? The mind or intellect or soul is where everything you see goes and is recorded. What you hear, and Romans 10:17 will back this up. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by
hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
So we need to hear the word of God rather than read it silently. So that's just a tidbit of extra. It ain't got anything to do with anything. But it's the lesson I learned some years ago, that what I read goes into my spirit man. Now, the negative side of that is everything I hear goes into my spirit man. How many knows we heard a lot during the course of driving across the I-10 yesterday that's not in here? And that's the freedom in America that we enjoy. Amen?
Amen.
The trouble I find, though, with this freedom is it seems to be going the other direction. In other words, we have freedom of religion in America unless you want to talk about God. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes on the CB, and this ministry started on CB radio in the truck, the picture of in the logo, and that's before most of them time too, Jim. I ordered the largest sleeper available on that truck in 1976, and it was 36 inches. How would you like to run a team with a 36-inch sleeper? And that was a crawl-through hole, too. It wasn't something you could walk in. Things have changed. Got a lot more technology. But one thing has not changed is what?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. So we need to hear it. Read with me, along with me in Philippians 4:8. Thank you for the prayer earlier, Jim. I appreciate that. And starting off right. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true. Now, what I want to do here, this verse will give you a guideline on what to think about, literally. And if my thoughts are not in this group, then I need to change my thoughts. And I'm going to show you how to do that too. You have control over your mind. I would have liked to have studied psychology because I'm a believer in the power of the mind. It's a powerful little tool. Amen?
Amen.
And it could be good or bad. What is a hypochondriac that's sick all the time?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's right there, isn't it? Isn't it? And they can be helped. We got a sister-in-law that actually was. I mean, you know, you ask some a hypochondriac how you doing, you wish you hadn't asked. Right? Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not putting anybody personally down. I'm just saying that that's in the mind, and Satan has convinced them of things. Some children are raised in verbal abuse and told you'll never be nothing, you'll never, never, never. And that is into their spirit, and in their mind they're thinking, I'm never going to be nothing, because that's all they were ever taught. I'm happy to announce that's not in the Bible. I found a whole lot not in the Bible that I was told growing up. Anyway, here's our outline on thinking. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what?
Think
about such things. Now, I'm going to take that out of context, but you can study the whole chapter later. If what you're thinking about, what's lodging in your mind, doesn't come under some of that, then we need to get rid of it.
Amen.
I got fired from a company one time, of course, before I got saved, back when I had a pretty bad attitude. But the drivers, there was 36 of us there, and I won't say where, but when we stopped, and I was party to this, because I wasn't saved, remember? But the general talk conversation was how bad the company was. All the rotten things the company was doing to us. We actually had a pretty good job. But we didn't know that till after I got fired. Looking back, it wasn't so bad, you know. And by the way, I was making 7.5 cents a mile. That wasn't yesterday, was it? Some of them said, 37 now or whatever, I don't know. But we had a pretty doggone good job. But see, we sat around and run the company down. And I hear that sometimes in truck stops, and that bothers me. That bothers me because that's not godly, folks. Okay? And we as Christians, and you as a company driver, as a born-again Christian company driver, if you're in the presence of other company drivers of your company, and that start, ask the Lord to give you something good to say. You don't bust them down, of course, but ask the Lord to give you something good to say about the company. In other words, remember what Paul told us here, that, and of course, running the company down, running somebody down, running the church down, running a preacher down, running anything down is not in here at all. Amen?
Amen.
Not there. Not there. Turn to Matthew 6, and I want to read you something out of the Old Testament you don't have. It's found in Joshua. And Joshua, you know, succeeded Moses. Amen? Joshua was the one that actually took the children of Israel into the promised land. How many knows why Moses didn't? Exactly. That's right. Instead of speaking to the rock, he hit it. God said, speak to the rock. And Moses is going to show off a little bit. And don't knock Moses before we realize we're the same human being he is. Yeah. He won, and I can understand that. I wouldn't have made it that far. I'd have killed them all and went and started something else. No. He had a job to do. One day, Moses was a shepherd tending a sheep. A few days later, he was in charge of 3 million people. How'd you like to do that? Wouldn't work. Joshua here, I want to read to you what he said in Joshua 1:8. And then we'll come to where you're at. He said this, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. He said, meditate on it day and night. Day and night. What should we be thinking about? And he said, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Now, when I read that, I thought, that's a pretty big pill to swallow. But then, when we add the grace of God over in the New Testament that Jesus brought into play, okay, brought into being, we're walking in His grace, and it's, Jim said earlier that it was because of His grace that we're here, because of His blood, we sung that song. I love that. Through the storm, through the water, but all through the blood. We live in the grace of God today, amen? We're walking. Because ain't nobody in this room make it 5 minutes under the law, I don't imagine. Okay? Come on in. Come on in. But we live under His grace. He says here, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Be careful to do everything written in it. Now, why? Then you will be prosperous and successful. How many in here wants to be prosperous and successful besides me?
Oh, yeah.
I definitely want to. Do I believe in prosperity? Absolutely. But I also tell you, prosperity doesn't mean money in the bank. Hello. Amen. It don't mean things and stuff. Amen. As I thought. I thought if you make enough money and have enough stuff, you'll be happy. Wrong. In fact, it's almost opposite to that. Because stuff will get you so involved in stuff to you're more unhappy than you ever were. But anyway, God wants us to be prosperous and successful. And Joshua here gives another, Paul gave us Philippians 4:8. And then Joshua says in 1:8, he said, meditate on the word day and night. Right, where are you at now? You're at Matthew 6? 6. Oh, 25.
Okay, page 7.
Mm-hmm. In your New Testament. By the way, we're reading out the New International Version this morning. If you desire, we'll swap it with a King James if you'd rather have that before you leave. And because I want you to have a Bible in the truck. And these are free. Can't get a better deal than that. Amen?
Amen.
That's free. And I expect you to read it out loud. Now, you may be looked at in a restaurant kind of strange if you're sitting in a restaurant reading the Bible out loud. I don't mean loud enough for everybody in the restaurant to hear it now, but but you know, it's funny. People can tell nasty jokes in a restaurant real loud, and that's supposed to be okay. You're not supposed to say anything about that, but if you start reading the Bible, I dare say you'd have an audience pretty quick. I told my wife again, one of these days I'm going to get brave, and when they're next to me, telling these jokes and whatever, I'm going to stand up on top of the table and start reading the Bible. If you hear me getting thrown through a plate glass window, you'll know what happened. But no, that's where we're at in time, right? The prophet said in the last day, one of the signs is they'll be calling what's wrong right and what's right wrong. Homosexuality is a sin. It's no bigger sin than anything else. No bigger sin. Homosexuals are getting saved every day. But I'm telling you, now it's considered an alternative lifestyle. That's wrong. You know, drinking a little bit, okay. Of course, I've always wondered, what's a little bit? I mean, you know, it might be one sip to me. It might be a gallon to Jim. I mean, you know, everything's big in Texas, you know. But no, you know, it's funny. We get a little bit. A little bit, it's okay. That's called compromise when we start talking about that. And if we have to do things in secret, is that right?
No.
No. So we need to, and all of it comes back to what we think about. And one thing's on all of our minds is our financial well-being, and we're supposed to be concerned about that. We're supposed to take care of our family and all that, right?
Since you're on tape, you better clarify that drinking a little bit is not okay.
That's right. Drinking a little bit is not okay, especially if I'm coming towards you in that motorhome. Please don't do that. I don't think that thing's a cab over, and I don't want to be the first thing to get to the accident. No, a little bit's not okay. You know, if it's a sin, it's a sin. If it's not a sin, it's not a sin. Just that simple. Amen?
Amen.
I tell her, and she knows this to be true, there's a sin of lust. Anybody know about that? Now, I don't have much problem with women, but if you got a beautiful truck with a lot of chicken lights on it, I may be lusting there. Or if Brownie has that old Kenworth. Hard not to lust after that. Different. And the preachers I go to see, they go, huh? I tell them, I have a problem with lust. And they said, really? Yeah, trucks. What's the matter with him? I'm just an old chicken hauler saved by grace, okay? Matthew 6:25. Jesus saying, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Women, did you hear that? Don't worry about it. No, I was kidding. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Boy, I like this illustration. I love what Jesus said here. Whoever saw a bird worrying? When you think about it. There aren't any gray-headed sparrows. When you think about it, they don't worry. Oh, I wasn't referring to you, darling. It's going to be a long ride to Arizona. So, and the reason the Lord wants us to read this, and I won't read the whole thing, I'm going to skip down, but I want you to read all of this passage from 25 to 34 when you get time. And the reason is, again, what are we thinking about? If we're worried about finances, we're not praising God. Right. By the way, we should spend our time going down the road. One thing I loved about driving is that's me and God then. Once I get my load on board and head out, just me and Jesus. And the CB and countless philosophers, you know. But I can spend my time either griping, worrying, fussing, or praising. And I've learned to spend more time praising. And we got a smart aleck pastor that'll probably hear this tape mile up. He's one of them people with patience. You know, I hate people that are patient. No, I was kidding. He said, when you're stuck in traffic, it's a good time to praise the Lord. And I thought, easy for you to say, you ain't got nowhere to go. No. But it is true, isn't it? It's always a good time to praise the Lord. Even when we're going through the fire, as that song said, it's got to be based on Isaiah 43, right? When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. When you walk through the river, it will not overflow you. We got God's promises. We don't need to worry. I personally think worrying is a sin. Hello? I'm not talking to you because you never worry about nothing. I was an owner-operator too, so okay. Let's go on down. What's the answer? Verse 33. What's the answer to not worrying? Verse 33.
Seeking
His kingdom. What's that?
Seeking His kingdom first and His righteousness.
That's right. Who is first?
God.
I was talking to come in last night. Went into Blue Beacon, got the coach cleaned up, and owner operator was in there. Of course, that's automatic kindred with me. And he was talking about how much he'd spent on his truck in the last month and whatever. Had some pretty rough time. And I just had to bring out giving. And I wasn't soliciting. By the way, don't get nervous. We're not going to pass the plate. But I will tell you this. If you don't plant, you can't reap. Just that simple. Now understand, that don't mean money all the time. And you can't plant hate and discontent and reap peace and joy. It ain't never going to happen. So whatever we're thinking about, again, out of the abundance of the heart, what's going on in us comes out of our mouth. If we're praising the Lord, studying the Bible, reading the Bible, praise is going to come out of our mouth. Knowing that no matter what happens, that God's going to turn it around for good. And we've been on all sides of that coin in our life and this ministry and every other kind of way, believe me. We can tell you war stories too. We could bring great glory to Satan for attacks. But I'd rather tell you that the end of the tunnel is light and it's not a train coming the other way. It's the answer from God. And there used to be an old song that says, don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Don't give up. There's something we've been praying for 30 years. And it's going to happen. I'm saying that for my good. One thing, I won't go into no detail, but 30 years ago, God gave me a promise, and I've not seen it come to fruition yet. But according to this word, cannot be wrong. Hello? And He gave me a verse in the Bible. It wasn't something I heard or thought or... It was come out of here, come out of Isaiah. And it will happen. Amen.
Amen?
You say, 30 years. Well, when God is older than time, what's another couple of centuries, you know?
That's right.
I mean, He's 100 billion plus years old. I mean, what's another 10 minutes? I mean, you know.
Lecture planning.
Yeah. A little time to praise Him for it while we're waiting on it. Don't worry, but what? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things, all of what things? Everything you need. This ministry never has a cushion. God got a tremendous sense of humor.
Amen.
Never gives us a cushion. Now, what I mean by that, there's no balance. But then we don't need one, do we?
No, not with him.
Keep your prayer life strong, I'll tell you that. One time I remember a quick story. We had relocated the offices. We needed to update all the computers in the office. And you know how that is. About every 6 months, you need to do that again. But in this case, we needed a major deal. Was that before we moved? Maybe. Anyway, we needed a pretty big amount of money. And there's a company, I won't say who, that sends a couple of $1,000s a month to the ministry. And we praise God for that. But my wife walked into my office one day and said, I was actually walking out. She said, you need to sit down. Well, when she said that, I thought somebody's dead, you know. Real positive, you know. Something bad wrong. Anyway, long story short, the owner of this company, the president of the company, had sent us a check, a personal check, for $10,000. Just in time to get this equipment for the office we needed. Wasn't a month early, but it wasn't a day late.
Amen.
Right on time. And see, unsolicited, we've gotten checks from companies we never heard of. There's something some of you said to somebody that said something to somebody. And so what I'm saying by that is we just need to look at him. In fact, some of you drivers listening to the tape and in here have fussed at me for not telling you what our needs are. Well, I like to tell him, amen. Let him tell you, and you respond. Then everybody's blessed. You follow me? So if we don't worry, see, if we plant Truck Stop Ministries tithe off of every dime that comes in, so I know the principle of planting and reaping is going to work, it doesn't matter how close it is. Amen? In God's perfect timing, in his perfect will, it's going to happen. Right, Brownie?
Yes, sir.
Amen. A chapel can come in the form of a flatbed. Now, I brag on him a little bit. He donated us a flatbed and then turned around and sold it for us. We didn't even have to go get it. And that turned into a van like this one to build for San Antonio, Texas. Praise God.
Amen.
It's coming.
Amen.
Did anybody ask you for that, Brownie?
No, sir.
Who told you to do that?
Me.
You and God decided
it.
Praise God. Now, the reason I'm saying that is, see, now don't get me wrong, I wish we had a big cushion. And what Satan wants me to think about all day is the negative side. What he wants me to dwell on is what if, right? What if this happened? What if that happened? Running across there yesterday in that warm sun, he tried to put fear in my mind because I'm watching gauges, you know. And God told me what to do. He said, cut the bus air off, everything will be cool. Hey, literally. So I cranked the generator up, turned the roof air on, turned the other one off, and the engine cooled right down. Of course, Jan was with me. It was a little heavy on the steering axle. But anyway, do not worry. What should we do? Turn to Mark 11.
Brave soul. Where are we going?
Well, after 38 years, you know to ignore.
Mark 11,
23. Okay, that's page 54.
Page 54. I don't have a watch, so I can go all day, right?
Oh, you can. Well, you can go past appointed time at Jackson.
You let me know.
10:30, right?
10:30.
You got 20 minutes.
Uh-oh. Mark 11, 23. One, now, if we're not supposed to worry, we're supposed to praise God, we're supposed to pray, but we're also supposed to believe and receive by faith. Amen?
Amen.
We actually got to receive it. Now, by faith, before we're going to get it, Growing up, English was my least of all favorite subject. Miss Bessie Tillman, bless her heart, she's going to be with the Lord now, I'm sure. Bessie Miles, I'm sorry. I'm sure she's going to be with the Lord by now, but she tried her best to get us South Georgia hillbillies to speak English, and it ain't going to work. Some of them there where I grew up would use the term heared. I heared so-and-so. Bless her heart, she tried every day to get Clayton McGuirt was his name to say, she'd say, Clayton, I heard. He said, you did? Didn't ever buy that. But anyway, she tried. After I got saved and began to study the Bible, I began to love English. Now, what I mean by that is this. When you read the Bible, when you study the Bible, don't read it, study it. Because it says, study to show yourself approved, right? Now, you got to get the whole thing in context, too. I can make this Bible say anything I want it to, and you can, too. But that don't mean that's what it said. Amen?
Amen.
There are some false prophets out there to lead you down a yellow brick road, as they say. But if you don't know the difference, you're in trouble.
Amen.
That's why we're giving you a Bible to read with us and suggest you take it with you. We need to know what the Word of God says, and we need to receive it by faith. Where was I going with that? Another rabbit shot. Mark 11:23. Oh, my English.
Yeah, your English.
When we're studying the Bible, watch the tense of the subject. Now, what I mean by that? Present, past, or future. Watch this in Mark 11:23. Now, let me set the pace a little bit. Prior to this, Jesus and the disciples were going down this road. Jesus saw a fig tree that was full of leaves and everything else, supposed to have some figs on it. He walked up there and there was no fruit. That's another message in itself, that everything ain't what it looks like. Anyway, how many knows the story? He cursed the fig tree. Now, the next day they come along. Let's start in verse 20. In the morning they went along. They saw the fig tree withered from the roots. I mean, man, when it withered, amen? Peter remembered and said to Jesus, now Peter and Joe Hunter are just about synonymous, I'll tell you. We jump and think later, which is not a good plan. Rabbi, look, he said, the fig tree you cursed had withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Listen to this. I tell you the truth. If anyone said to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Now, if you're going down the road concentrating on all the bad stuff, you're not going to have any faith. It can't happen. Because faith and fear work on the same principle. Like positive and negative on a battery. They're opposite. They work the same, but they're the opposite. You follow me? They got opposite results, I should say. We've got to believe that it's going to happen when we ask. Now let's go on there. This will explain it to you. Verse 24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, present tense, we're praying, right? Believe that you have received it. What is that? Past tense. And it will be yours. Future. So what I pray for today, I got to receive as if it's already manifested in my life, so that it will be in God's perfect time. And of course, you know the story of the woman who lived by the mountain, and she heard the preacher preach on this subject, speak to the mountain and be it cast into the sea. And she looked out her window that night and said, in Jesus' name, be cast into the sea. Next morning, she got up and opened the window and said, just like I thought, it's still there. No faith. Now, I'm not a hyper-faith person. However, that's the only thing God operates in is faith.
Amen.
One guy said, I don't have any faith. I said, you do or you wouldn't be breathing. Show me oxygen. Well, in L.A. you can see it, but anyway. Coming across there yesterday, we could see it pretty good. It looked like dust. But seriously, though, when we ask God for something, see, we got to count that as if it's already done and just go on. Begin to praise Him for it. Begin to praise Him for it. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given. Seek,
shall find.
And knock,
shall be opened.
And it goes on to say, for he who asks, receives. And to him who seeks, finds, or something to that effect. The literal translation says, ask and keep on asking. How many has ever raised children? How many has ever had one ask you for something just one time? They're going to ask you till they get it. Of course, being a grandparent, they don't need but one time. We go get it. No. But seriously, though, it ain't like God forgets. But we need to let Him know we believe He's going to do it. Amen?
Amen?
We need to let Him know. So if we're going down the road thinking on all the negative stuff, and go back to your outline in Philippians 4:8 sometime and see if your thoughts line up with the Word of God. And in Mark 11:23, where we read here in 24, says, if we believe we receive it when we ask, it's going to be ours. Now, understand, everything is within God's will. Because if you're mature enough, I can say that boldly, because if you're mature enough in the Word to do this, you're going to be mature enough to know sometimes good fathers like God says no.
Amen.
These people say, God didn't answer my prayer. Yes, He did. He probably told you no. Or He said later, right? But when I don't get it right now, like I am, John Hagee said, you stand in front of a microwave saying, hurry, hurry, hurry. And I said, who told him about me? Put something in the microwave and say, how long can 30 seconds be, for crying out loud? How long can that be? Thank you. We're a microwave society. God is not. God is not. He's eternal. So when we ask, believe and receive and begin to praise it, every day I try to remember in my prayer time to praise Him for the answer to that prayer that's 30 years old. My flesh would like to approach Him and say, hey, have you forgotten or what? This is getting a little bit old, you know. That's what my flesh is saying, okay? Now, you don't do that. You don't doubt God for a second. But my spirit man knows that the Word of God is not wrong, so therefore it's got to happen. Right, Lester?
Amen.
Now, this is salvation of somebody, so there's no question about what His will is. You follow me? I don't pray, God save this person if it's Your will. That's dumb. I know it's His will. Amen? So I want you to know that this request I've got, there's no question about whether or not it's God's will. How many knows that God's timing would have been a long time ago, but the person's involved? See? He won't override somebody's will. I wish He would, because I'd be the first one to need to get overruled. Sometimes I wish He'd just put a two before upside of my head and say, no, you're not going to do that. But He lets us make mistakes because He loves us so much. So what do we think about? Let's go on one more verse here in verse 25. Let's don't quit till we get that. Mark 11:25. And when you stand praying, this is a part I wish wasn't in the Bible. One of the many I wish. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, do what?
Forgive
him. Why?
So your Father that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins.
Look at that word in there again, may. May is giving permission, if I remember right. Huh?
Yes.
We have to give God permission to forgive our sins. And one of the ways is forgiving that person that treated you like dirt. I've had a few I want to say, I'll get this one, you get the next one, God. I'll take care of this dude. We'll eliminate this problem. That ain't the way it works. When people try to shaft you, Brother Lester, right?
Yes.
We have to pray. I said we have to pray. I didn't say we'd like to.
Right. Yeah.
But now if we want God's blessing, which I do, then we have to pray. And usually when you get good and shafted, it's somebody real close to you.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Like a fellow minister. We're not going there. And God says, love them. I said, I got a better idea. I'm going to pray for them that you'll destroy them and everything around them. No. No. I have to pray, according to God's word, I have to pray for them to be blessed. That's right, and change my attitude. So if I'm going down the road concentrating or thinking about the destruction of my enemies, and that person that I divorced a long time ago, which in my case is not true, thank God, so far. So far. But if something in the past that we have not dealt with, we need to get rid of that so God can bless us. And I know some of you have been hurt badly through divorce, through a lot of different things, and Satan is playing havoc with your mind going down the road because that's all you can think about. So one thing is we can say, God, forgive them. I forgive them, rather. You forgive me. Now let's go on from here. Turn to Romans 12:2. We got to get this wrapped up somewhere. There's got to be an end to it. They say all good things must end, so. Romans 12:2.
Page 182.
I had a message I was working on till this morning, and when I got up this morning to, I call polish it off, I got the good word, that ain't going to work. You got to start over. Oh, my. Romans 12:2. Well, let's read 1 and 2. Another, here's instructions on how to think about the right things. The writer of Romans says, therefore I urge you, brothers, so he's talking to Christians. Amen? Talking to born-again Christians. In view of God's mercy, oh boy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. Number 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That's hard. But be transformed how?
By the renewing of your mind.
Say it again.
By the renewing of your mind.
Notice the suffix ing. That's right. Continually. Our mind never becomes renewed. Our spirit man becomes born again that quick. As soon as we pray and ask the Lord to forgive us of our sin, if you fell dead the next second, you go straight to heaven. If you've been mass murder or whatever, you're good to go, as they say. Trouble is, you're not ready to live. Right? Because you've been transformed then, and your mind hadn't changed a bit. My mind hadn't changed none since I've been born again. I was born again December the 19th, 1971. I never forget it. I know exactly where I was at. I know exactly what was going on. I remember that. But you know what? My mind hadn't changed. My flesh, I should say, hadn't changed any. But I have reprogrammed my mind through what? The Word of God. It says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. In other words, we've got to get changed inside. We've got to have a change. I was in a group of pastors, and I talk about preachers because I are one. I'm a trucker and a preacher. That's a combination, ain't it? Sometimes a double zero in some people's eyes. I can't win here or there. But anyway, I learned something that scared me half to death a long time ago, that every preacher is not born again. Some go to college to become a pastor, just like we went to school to drive a truck or whatever, as a vocation. That scared me when I found that out, Jim. And major denominations will hire a pastor based on their resume, the education, and they need that to be a pastor, that's for sure. But how many ever asked your pastor, when were you born again? You remember I asked you that a while ago?
Right.
And this is the reason. I never assumed that of nobody. Had I not heard Billy Graham talk about it, I wouldn't be I wouldn't be worried a bit to say, Dr. Graham, when were you born again? I'm not doubting him. I just want him to tell me. The pastor of a large church, one time I was in a meeting, I won't even say where, and he was one of them that looked at me like this, and that drives me bananas, over his glasses for those listening on tape. And of course, being a chaplain of Truck Stop Ministries and dressed just like I am now with my jeans and boots, I don't think you can get any sharper than that. I mean, this is Johnny Carson style for me. I mean, big time. But no, I'm in this meeting, and I'm the only one there that's not in a suit. And of course, they have real nice ways to in the back. So I asked this guy, I said, how long have you been in ministry? And he told me. How long have you been pastoring? He told me. I said, how long have you been born again? Expecting about the same length of time, or at least that long. And he looked at me and said, I don't remember a time in my life that there was any change. He said, I was born a Christian.
Whoa.
I said, no, you wasn't. Pardon my grammar, but there ain't no such thing. And I said it to him very politely, but that scares me. So I'm saying this for your benefit. I was born again December the 19th, 1971 in Dublin, Georgia. Now, you don't have to remember the time necessarily, but there's something happened to you when you were born again. There was a change took place. And if there hadn't been that change taking place, or turn to page 272, by the way. I do know that one. I use it all the time. If that change hadn't happened, or at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if you got your own Bible, if somehow in your walk with God, Satan has infiltrated your life to the point through your thinking, through you going down the road, through whatever, and you're not where you should be with God today, and you know that, I don't. We may not see each other again between here and glory. And I may be embarrassed like I was with Brownie a while ago. I said, so finally I get to meet. We spent Dallas Truck Show together, for crying out loud. But I'm saying that if you're not where you should be with God today, there's good news. There isn't anything you can do to stop God from loving you.
Amen.
Isn't that great? I could hurt her long enough as a human being, that love could die. I believe that. I believe that's possible as humans. Now, the Christian side would never die. She would love me as a brother in Christ no matter what I did, I hope. Keep talking about her. That may go too. But God loves you. That's the good news. But there's something he requires to become his child. Jim, read 1 John 1 and 9 to us.
Okay, 1 and 9 is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
He will do what? He is faithful and just and will forgive us. Somebody turn to Hebrews 8:12 real quick. This wasn't on the program, but Hebrews 8:12 is one of my favorites too, because in conjunction with what Jim just read, he said, if we confess our sins, you see, confession or repentance is absolutely necessary. By the way, there's a movement going around now that you don't have to confess your sins to be saved, that you don't have to repent. And I want you to be aware there's false prophets out there, folks. And it sounds good on the surface. A lot of these things sound good on the surface. We ran into that in Nebraska, I'll put it that way. That's not in my Bible. Jesus himself said, unless you repent, you shall perish. Period. So repentance or confession is essential. Now, he promised if we did that, though, he'd forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews 8:12. Honey, would you read that?
Page 253. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more.
Not only will he forgive our wickedness, I love it. He will remember our sins no more. God doesn't have a clue what I used to do. I went to one of our friends named Buck Scoggins at home, and you'd have to know Buck to appreciate he spent 15, 20 years in prison. Too long a story. I went with him to speak one night to a church neither one of us had ever been to. And yet we're sitting on the front row now, and I'm just there to support him. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just there. And Buck leaned over and said, I'm going to tell him I know something God don't know. I said, would you mind if I sit at the back? I want to be at the door. Buck, what on earth have you got in your head? And he kind of smiled and didn't tell me nothing. That's it. I know the sins I used to do. God does not. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Now think about it. While you're going down the road thinking, what does Satan like to tell you about? Exactly. We've got a saying, when he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future, which is hell. He has no choice. You do. When he reminds me of my past, I love to tell him that. I might have been bad, old boy, but I ain't going to hell. You are. And I pulled over side the road and got my Bible out and read 1 John 1 and 9 to him about as loud as I could. It's a good thing they never put a recorder in my truck. I'd be in the funny farm. I go down the road worshiping, praising God, fussing at God. You don't ever do that. And taking authority over the enemy sometime. Amen. When he gives me these thoughts like this is going to happen, that's going to happen, I said, no. Sorry, that doesn't line up with the word. That's not, in Jesus' name, by the grace of God, according to the word of God, that's not going to happen. Okay?
Amen.
But if we don't learn the word of God, how are we going to know to say that? We'll go down the road thinking about the wrong thing. Because Satan's going to fill your mind full of it. Praise the Lord. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the tape today. I pray it was a blessing to you as you listened. And if you need prayer for salvation, rededication, or any reason, call the Truckers Prayer Line listed on the tape, and someone will be glad to pray with you. May God richly bless you and keep you safe today is my prayer.